This morning, we're going to hear of a ministry that we, actually a couple ministries that we take in here at Trinity, and Ray Solo is going to come forward and share about a couple different ministries that we have the blessing of being a part of in providing the needs for individuals so that they can continue each day in life. So Ray, if you would come and share with us, that would be a blessing.
If I could ask everybody to please open your Bibles to page 1522. I want to take a minute just to look at what our Lord says about feeding. We're going to see in here Matthew chapter 15, starting at verse 29. Jesus left there and went along the Sea of Galilee. Then he went up along the mountainside and sat down. Great crowds came to him, bringing the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others, and laid them at his feet, and he healed them. The people were amazed when they saw the mute speaking, the crippled made well, the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they praised the God of Israel. Jesus called his disciples to him and said, "I have compassion for these people, and they have already been with me for 3 days and have nothing to eat. I don't want to send them away hungry, or they may collapse on the way." His disciples answered, "Where could we get enough bread in this remote place to feed such a crowd?" "How many loaves do you have?" asked Jesus. "Seven," they replied, "and a few small fish." He told the crowd to sit down on the ground. Then he took the seven loaves and the fish, and when he had given thanks, he broke them and gave them to the disciples. And they in turn to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. Afterward, the disciples picked up seven basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was 4,000, besides women and children. After Jesus had sent the crowd away, he got into the boat and went into the vicinity of Magdan. One of my favorite miracles here, where God actually understands our physical condition and our weakness in the flesh, and that we do have to have sustenance to survive and to push on. And I think one of the most vital ministries that we can do is just such an act. And I can tell you that it is such a joy and a privilege for me to be able to partake in the many ministries that our church has, but we want to take a focus on the feeding ones. We have Tables of Plenty and Western Avenue. God understands that we're weak in the flesh and that we need food, and how important that is for us. Now, we can't take two loaves and our loaves and fish and turn them into feeding thousands, but what we can do is we can tap into the gifts and the resources that God has blessed us with to be that vital ministry to help to feed the poor. Personally, I can tell you I've had the great opportunity in order to serve with these groups as they go up, and we've got a couple people who are very, very strong at keeping this ministry together, and we're always open for others to join us. And I encourage you that if you haven't had an opportunity to partake in this particular ministry, try to set aside a day. It's one of the entry-level ministries that you can get involved in where you don't have to have a huge commitment. It's not going to take a year to prepare. It's not going to take a month to prepare. It's going to take a prayer to prepare and to go and be there. Personally, as I've gone there, God's touched my heart. I see the public and the condition that they're in, the poor, the sick, the lame, the deaf, or whatever, all those that came to Jesus for food, and you can experience that also in this ministry capacity. Pastors always told us that it's not about task oriented, it's about relationship oriented ministries. You're not going to go up there to grab a ladle and dump some spaghetti on a plate for somebody. You're feeding the weak. You're ministering to the souls there. And I encourage you to take opportunities while you're there to actually reach out, have conversations, and share with these people that you are feeding. I found myself on the other side of the counter as I was feeding, wondering, what would it take for me to be on the other side of the counter to receive that? And as I shared with some of those people that were out there, my heart, just as if going on any prolonged mission trip, is torn wide open in love. And one family shared with me how they had their savings, they had their jobs, they had their 401ks, they had their job securities, their home, their life securities, they had their house, they had everything, including their blinders on, that they were okay. The wife had colon cancer. She lost her job. Before she recovered completely, the daughter and the husband came down with this H1N1, you know, swine flu. He lost a lung, became permanently disabled. Now all these securities that they had falsely put themselves into were disappearing quickly around themselves, and they found themselves almost losing their home, unable to feed their family, and all of a sudden they were on the other side of the counter. I'm here to tell you that that could quickly be us. And that by engaging in this ministry, you're going to, you know, empower those people who have unfortunately been led to this lower state, and you're going to be able to help lift them up and encourage them. And I'm telling you, it's an amazing feeling when people who have nothing thank you for the most menial of things. I mean, we all go through our days and we're all so routine and regimented, and all those things are there and those are our securities, but I'm here to tell you that those can be gone in a minute. And those are all just the blessings that God has given us, and that we should be willing and able and go out there and share those with other people. If you haven't had the opportunity, I encourage you. Rich Witte is one of the icons in this, and I'm sorry to single out people, but truly, you know, each of us are gifted, as we all know, in different ways, and we have a lot to contribute, but some of us have yet to discover how we can contribute. And I just want to tell you again, these two ministries are great ways for you to get involved on a small time capacity, 3-4 hours, and to be able to go out and find your niche. So if you haven't had an opportunity, be sure to see the pastor, myself, Rich. There's some other people that are involved. Even share with some of the people who have gone there. And know that something as little as a meal is a very amazing thing. If Jesus will surround a miracle around feeding, that's a message to us. We need to go and feed the poor. Thank you for your time. God bless you all.
We have nothing, just a few fish and some bread. Bring them to me. Thank you, Father, for what you bring us.
Our Father in heaven feeds the birds of the air. How much more will he give to you? Put God first and everything else will follow. If you hunger for righteousness, you will be filled through me.
This morning's reading from God's Word is found in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. If you're utilizing the Pew Bible, follow along. We will be on page 1,505. Again, a reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his or her life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. We're continuing our series this morning titled The Path of Prayer. And this morning you probably have figured out that we are talking about prayer being the path to provision. I wish to listen or have us listen to the words of our Lord Jesus. This entire series has been going through what we call the Lord's Prayer, each request by each request. And so for, you know, the contextual reasons, listen to the words of our Lord. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by men. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And in praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this manner. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. As I mentioned, we have been working our way through the Lord's Prayer. We have learned that there are two sets of requests contained in this prayer. The first three requests, they all speak to God working and moving here on earth. These three requests contained in the beginning of this prayer are succinctly, thy name be hallowed, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And we find ourselves this morning at the beginning of the second set of requests. And these three requests, they all focus upon you and me, and they speak to our needs for this life and our journey each day. Listen to these three requests. Give us bread. Forgive us our debts. Lead us not into temptation. I want you and me both to notice the plural pronouns which runs throughout the entire prayer. It begins with the very first phrase, our Father, and then it moves to give us our daily bread. Forgive us as we have forgiven our debtors. Lead us, deliver us. Jesus, friends, spoke this model of prayer by using plural pronouns throughout. And we must understand there is not a singular personal pronoun all through the model prayer that Jesus gave to you and to me. Jesus said, when you pray, pray in this manner. Friends, this is a big deal for God, for Jesus, and it should be a big deal for you and me. Jesus was speaking to us, and he was saying, when we pray, we need to use the plural pronouns so as to understand our connection with others. That's the message there. The trouble that you and I, we get into is when our prayers only consist of the pronouns I or me or my, and they fail to include what Jesus instructed, namely the pronouns our, we, and us. You see, the entire scope of praying with plural pronouns, it shows how we understand and how we are truly all connected one with each other. I want you all to hear that we all are connected with one another. In fact, the Bible speaks of us being adopted into the family of God. Galatians 4:4-5 states it this way. But when the time had fully come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. In fact, friends, the words of the Gospel of John, they tell us this: but to all who received him, meaning Christ, who believed in his name, meaning Jesus' name, that he, meaning Jesus, gave them the power to become children of God, who were born not of man, nor of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, but they were born of God. Friends, we all are family. All of us who believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior are members of the same family. And that family, my friends, is the family of God. I want you and me to grasp that fact. You see, if we truly understood this, it would begin to permeate our very lives. We would not be so disconnected from one another that we would truly be changed. In fact, you and I, we would be transformed. Our actions would be different. Our choices would reflect this new understanding. And yet we find ourselves living in a world where segregation still exists. Discrimination still abounds. Yes, we all discriminate each day. We choose what we like and what we want. And this, unfortunately, friends, has crept into our belief systems. We want what we want, and we yearn for what we want, and we feel this or that will be what we finally will need. And friends, if you're recoiling at this very thought, I challenge you all, and I challenge myself, to think of your prayers, to think about your prayers. What's the dominating theme? Are your prayers filled with, God, grant me this, or God, grant me that? Do you pray for your cares, concerns, and wants and needs? I certainly hope you do. But if you and I are ever going to be what Jesus wants us to be, and he even prayed for you and me to become what he wants us to become, it is to be one with the other, to be one with one another. And you'll find that in the Gospel of John, chapter 17. Jesus wanted you and I to be truly to be connected, to be truly to be united, to be part of the same family. If we truly yearn for this to come to fruition, then you and I must begin with our prayers. Our prayers must change. We must include the pronouns we and us and our and all the other plural pronouns. This will change our outlook. It will, in fact, change your life and mine, and it will change how you live and how I live. We will no longer be so self-consumed and self-absorbed, but we will be looking outward to others. We will be looking to others who are brothers and sisters in Christ and members of our family, a family that carries the name of God. Yes, we all are members of the family of God, and maybe, just maybe, it is time that we changed our prayers to reflect this fact. You might be wondering, what's the big deal on how I pray, and why does it matter if I use a singular pronoun versus a plural pronoun? Why should I begin to include all others in my time of prayer? Friends, it's just like a rock that has been thrown into a pond that creates ripples after the initial shock to the water. We all have our lives which can be still like the water of a pond, and we keep that stillness when we only include ourselves in our prayers. But when we begin to include others, the ripples begin. We are the center of where God begins to change, where God begins to transform and mold you and me when we pray. And just like the center of the ripples is where the rock hits the water, God causes this movement of the water in your life and mine and through our lives when we choose to include others in our prayer. When we decide to align ourselves with others, to be caused to be moved out of our comfort zone by seeing what God sees and hearing what God hears. Friends, this all starts in prayer. It all starts by how we pray. It all begins with who we choose to include in our prayers. As I mentioned earlier, the message this morning is about prayer being the path to provision. I want to connect this for you this morning. Provisions are what is needed to live each day. I want you and me to fully understand that, yes, when we pray for our daily bread, we are asking God to grant us all those essential items that we need to live for another day. And this includes food and shelter and clothing. It includes water and all those elements we so commonly take for granted. Friends, God wants you and me to depend fully and completely upon Him for all those elements we need to survive. Prayer is, in fact, the path to provision. God's provisions for you and for me to live. And when we pray for our daily bread, we are in fact asking God to provide those things we need each day, not just for you and for me, but for all of us, because we are connected. We are a family. We aren't saying, Lord, just give me what I need. We are saying, give the family, my family, the family of God, those essential elements and items that they need. And friends, this is where sometimes you and I will be challenged. Because sometimes, as we're going to find here in a few moments, sometimes the channel that God uses to meet those needs for others is, in fact, you and me. Sometimes when we begin to pray, God, grant us our daily bread, God is saying to you and to me, it is through you that I wish to meet that need for them. And when we pray this, my friends, we're depending fully upon the Lord Jesus to meet all of these needs for us. Not just me, but us. The opposite of dependency upon the Lord for those things which we need is to be self-sufficient. We cannot be self-sufficient in our lives. We must depend upon Christ for everything. If we are self-sufficient, we will begin to feel as if we are the ones providing what we need to live in this world. And friends, it is only God who provides. You may be here and you might be thinking, well, I have a good job and going to work each day, you know, it provides you the income to purchase all the things you need for you to live. You may not be needing anything at the moment, and the temptation for all of us is to not have a heart of thankfulness to God for allowing you and me to be in a position that we are, but to become closed off and begin to feel that you were the one who accomplished all that you did and put you in the position that you experience each day. Friends, God does provide. He can do the miraculous by multiplying the fish and the loaves of bread. He can even cause ingredients to never run out like He did with the widow of Zarephath. God can and He does do the miraculous. God can provide us with the strength, and He does provide us with the strength to work to obtain our food, our shelter, and our clothing. But friends, one thing remains. It is still God who is providing. He does give us strength. He does give us food sometimes, and He can even allow us to receive monies when we have none and when it's needed. There is one last way in which God provides, and that's through others. I wonder if you heard that. One other way that God utilizes to provide for the needs of His family is through you and through me. God uses people to bless others. He uses you and me to provide for someone else when they need something to live. I hope that sinks in. I want you and me to grasp that fact, that God decides to use you and to use me to work with Him to provide for those who are in need of daily provisions. You see, friends, give us this day our daily bread. Give us. You see, when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we are saying, I care about our brothers and sisters in Christ. We are saying that I yearn to be with them in their pain, to be with them in their struggle. And yet sometimes I'm fearful that many of us have changed the Lord's Prayer to, Lord, give me my daily bread. And that is not the manner in which God, Jesus, tells us to pray. I want to challenge us all to depend upon God, to depend upon the Lord for providing us with what we need each day. I want to challenge you and me to take this step further. You see, it all begins with prayer. It begins with God changing us. It begins with you and me including one another in our prayers. We pray with the plural pronouns that Jesus said to use when we pray. And when we do, we pray that our eyes will be opened and our understanding is changed, that we will be transformed to be able to see what God sees. Our hearts are molded to include what is near to His heart and dear to Him. And friends, that is the care of His children. It's a little scripture passage in the book of 1 John. It goes like this. If you see your brother or sister in need and you say, go and be well, how can the love of God be in you? And friends, that's exactly where it's all about. That's truly where the, so to be cliche, the rubber meets the road. When we see someone in need, are we yearning to be the hands and feet of Christ our King, to be the embodiment of the love of our Heavenly Father? Are we yearning to partner with the blessing that God has blessed with us and to pass that along to someone else? Or are we simply praying selfishly? My friends, let's include others in our prayers. Let us be so bold enough to step out when we see the needs of others, acknowledging it. And when we do that, we acknowledge and admit and accept the fact that it's God working through you and through me to grant the daily provisions for another member of His family. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we thank You, Jesus, for Your mercy. We thank You for Your provisions of all that You bless each and every one of us with. We thank You for this day. We thank You for the opportunity and the honor to just partner with You in this one small way. Father, may we not overlook something as small as a pronoun. May we just truly introspect as to how we pray and who we include in our prayers, and not to just pray for people, but to stand with them in our prayers, to meet their needs when You have called us to do so, to be ready and willing to answer the call, to answer the bell, to step forward. Oh God, we confess that not all of us have always done this. I confess, Jesus, and I don't believe I'm alone, O Christ my King. We become selfish and self-sufficient. We become so self-absorbed that we pray that we want You to do it, but we don't want it to cost anything for us. Forgive us, O Lord. Forgive us this day, and may Your courage resound deep within our soul to see what You see and to hear what You hear, and to walk after You. Oh Lord God, may we truly become Your hands and feet, and may we truly share Your gospel to those that You bring across our path. May we truly see a need when You present it before us, and may the cares of our life not so pollute our vision that we can't even see someone who is in desperate need. And so Father, we thank You for this time. And may we bless You by all joining together and praying the prayer that You taught Your disciples to pray. We too pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
God has put it on my heart today to talk about a story that really means a lot to me, and it's really close to my heart. There was a woman that had 6 children. She opened the cupboards, there's nothing there, nothing. And her 6 children come to her and say, Mom, I'm hungry, I'm so hungry. And there's nothing there. So this woman, full of faith, sits her 6 children down and says, set the table, we're gonna sit around and pray. We're gonna pray, because God's gonna provide a way. She sits her children down. They set the table. This woman full of faith knows with all of her heart that God is going to provide food for her children. She prays, and the children sit there, and they wait, and they wait for a half hour. 30 minutes later, there's a knock on the door because a neighbor listened to God. A neighbor listened. And it was put on his heart to provide food. How often do we ignore what God has put on our heart and we walk the other way. How many times do we walk by those that are hurting and not pray for them? How often do we ignore what God has put on our heart? Too many times. I'm guilty. I think we're all guilty that we walk past those that are hurting, that need our help, that have stress in their lives, that need food, that need provision every day, and we walk past them. It's time to stop. It's time that we look at them and listen to God and listen to our heart and stop listening to our head and listen to what God is telling us and putting on our heart. So I want to invite people. The altars are open for those that are hurting, for those that have a broken heart, for those that need provision, for those that are stressed, for those that just have a lot of anxiety about their lives, because we're here as a church to pray for you. Allow us that blessing to pray for you. So I just want to say the altars are open, and allow us to provide for you as that neighbor provided to that woman. Please, please, the altars are open.
The air I breathe. This is 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 the air I breathe.
As we close here this morning, know that God yearns to meet your needs and my needs. And one of the channels that he wants to do so is through other believers and sisters in Christ. But in order to do so, we need to step forward as members of the same family. We need to be part and engaged in that family. We need to hear those needs. We need to hear what is going on in order to be able to meet those needs. And in order to adequately lift you up in prayer. And know that the God of the heavens, the God of eternity, is the God who yearns to bless you, to keep you, and to provide what you and I need each and every waking hour. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, may the God who provides goodness, who provides life, who provides all those elements of life that you and I need, may he bless you and keep you, and may you eternally experience truly the coming King in Christ our Lord as we breathe each and every waking day. Amen.
This is the